This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Hi, this is Dave from Theater Geeks. Got a couple of announcements before we start the episode. First thing is that the annual podcast awards are taking nominations right now through September 30th. And we'd really like you to nominate Theater Geeks in the cultural/arts category. And the details about that are at theatergeeks.com/awards. You can get all the information in there. Then there's a link to the actual nominating form, which is podcastawards.com. But go to theatergeeks.com/awards. It'll give you basically the information. You can only nominate us in one category plus either best produced or people's choice. I would suggest if you think that we qualify, that you would nominate us in people's choice. But as far as the other categories are concerned, only nominate us in the cultural/arts. If you nominate us in more than one category, they throw your nomination ballot out. So it really does no good to do multiple category nominations for a podcast. So we'd really like you to do that. It's important, really. It's not necessarily as important to win, but it is really cool if we can get on the ballot, because a large numbers of folks come in to vote for the final ballot. And if they see us on the ballot, then that's more people that get exposed to the Theater Geeks show. So please nominate us if you think we deserve it. Give us a little bit of help and help us potentially get some really big exposure. The other thing I want to mention is that sometime in October, and we haven't nailed this down yet, we have plans in the works for a live show with a live audience again. It'll be sort of to celebrate our 2-year anniversary on the internet. And so we're going to give you more information about that a little bit later on, as soon as I know specifically what the date is going to be. So we haven't determined a date. We are looking at like the very end of October, like October 29, which would be, I think that's a Saturday. It's the 29th or 30th, right before Halloween. So we are looking at potentially Halloween-themed show, but in front of a live audience. And we will hopefully stream that, and there's going to be a number of other issues involved in that. So keep your eyes open on the website for more information about that. And now on with Theater Geeks.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. I remembered this time what the other thing was. Good. Okay. Marcia's giving me a big thumbs up there, which is totally in character. We also have two special guests with us today, Annette Kazanowski and Doug Lund. Doug Lund is a actor, performer, as well as a vocal director for many of our shows. Annette is an actress par excellence and has been in a number of our productions as at our home theater, as well as directing and working also with our youth program. But we're talking about vocal direction issues. We thought we might look at a few of the, maybe these aren't horror stories, but I love horror stories. Everybody knows that. But just things that really drive a vocal director nuts. And you had one question kind of after we ended the last episode about vocalists.
Well, I just remember because I've had the occasion to hear about this kind of thing. What do you do when an actor comes in and has already learned the song, his or her songs off the CD, but they're not the way they're in the score, or you don't want them interpreted that way, and they just are stuck in the CD and can't, that's the only way they can do it. What do you do?
You have to rely on repetition. That would be one of those situations where you had talked earlier about recording the actor,
okay,
performer on a cassette.
Mm-hmm.
You probably would want to have that for them and just kind of let them know And I mean, I've had to do this before with,
really?
With someone, since I've been with the theater, someone had learned the music off of the CD and it did not match the orchestration.
Yeah.
And so, and this person doesn't read music, but was an outstanding performer.
Yeah.
So we, you know, it certainly was wanting to make sure that we got a performance out of her. And so, I just spent a lot of time there. I mean, you know, obviously parts of it probably are in sync with the orchestration. There's probably just parts of it that wouldn't be in sync. So you have to kind of focus on those parts and say, you know, this part you do really, really well. This part we're going to have trouble with the orchestra. So these are the ways I like for us to change this. And then you just have to rely on doing it over and hope that they're going to be cooperative.
Well, one can always hope.
One can always hope.
By the way.
And the performer I was talking about did an outstanding job.
Oh, good. Mentioning no names.
All right.
I have to say that if you're hearing any noise in the background, it's not like an alien spaceship. It's John's coffee pot.
He's got a coffee pot, but it's an alien coffee pot.
It's an alien coffee pot.
That's right.
Okay.
Let's get back to topic. Get off my coffee pot.
Thank you.
Doug, what do you do with a performer who questions you? Like directly, almost confronts you?
Who would dare?
Exactly. I'm not sure if I've ever really had that happen that I can remember, and if it has happened, I blocked it. But
that's good.
Most of the time, I just kind of have a private conversation, saying that, you know, you're seeing this differently than I'm seeing it, and we're going to at least have to compromise and come to something. But what I'm telling you is that we're more than likely going to need to do it the way that I'm saying, because that's how it's going to work with 8 pieces of an orchestra and a music director.
Right.
So, you know, you're not the only one that's involved in making this piece work.
Mm-hmm. Is that inexperience a lot of times on the part of the vocalist where they think they have a certain idea? I remember, I'll plead guilty to this. I don't do a lot of musicals, and some of the early musicals that I did do, I tended to kind of think, oh, gee, you know, this isn't what, you know, what, isn't the orchestra supposed to be doing this? I mean, I was less understanding of the whole process at one time and maybe even slightly difficult about it at times. And I just want, you know, is that what you see?
It's either inexperience or a belief in one's own abilities and to kind of
egotism,
conceit.
Yeah,
I was trying to say that nicely, but I can't. That word I was able to recall. Part of that conversation that I would have with the person that John had asked about probably would be that, you know, it's easier for one person to change than to have 8 people change,
mm-hmm.
In terms of the orchestra, and you know, the orchestra director has got to keep those 8 people together. And, you know, make something that works. And if you're going to have to make some alterations so that the orchestra is able to get through this piece, we're going to have to do
right.
some adjusting. It's not going to affect your ability to be successful in your performance, but this is just a way that it's going to make it work for the audience to understand. I mean, if you're mm-hmm. going one speed, they're going a speed, and you think this break needs to be here, and it's really not there, and you've got 8 people that aren't taking that break, you know, it's not going to work.
Okay, then I have a question. Do you initially sit down with the orchestra director and decide how, like you said, the tempo, how each one is going to go in the framework of the show? I mean, what happens if you think it should be slower or faster and the orchestra director doesn't agree?
Yeah, I have had that happen. And that's really a pretty easy fix, you know, because usually it's not that huge of a difference in terms of what you're thinking. But, you know, people kind of get stuck in what they think is the right way that something should go. But that's usually pretty easily fixed. I've not had really problems with that. I mean, there has been disagreements.
Yeah.
But they've all been resolved pretty easily through conversation and just kind of, you know, what's your rationale for that tempo? Or what's your rationale for the need for this particular break in the song? I'm not seeing it the same way.
Okay. Okay.
Well, if you have people who are willing to talk to each other and just basically, okay, you know, and you're focusing again on what's coming across to the audience,
right.
that seems like that's the rule, that's the tiebreaker. you know, in essence.
Right. Well, and in terms of what you're talking about, the performer being flexible, that comes down to kind of when you're in that casting process. You know, it's like, I can tell by the way this person is presenting themselves at the audition that they may be a little difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can see that from the beginning.
And you decide whether they're worth it or not.
And then you decide whether they're worth it or not, yes.
Right.
Yeah, being cognizant of the fact always that it is community theater. You can't fire people. You can't flunk people. So you have to cast ones that are going to get along with everybody else in the cast, because if it's not fun, forget it. Nobody even wants to be there.
No, you know? And I think most people, is if they're enjoying it, they're going to work pretty hard.
Yeah.
And you know, work can be fun. I mean, work doesn't mean it's not fun. Right. Hard work can be part of the fun.
Say, that was just where I was going. Yeah. In my brain, I was thinking the same thing. Work and fun can be simultaneous,
right?
And they need to be, you know, in this case.
Right. What have you had it happen? Because I have had it happen where someone auditions well in a non-musical, and they audition well, they appear to be maybe a pretty good actor, and so they get a pivotal role, and then it turns. Annette's smiling here right now. She's been there. I just don't say, yeah. What? And then you end up someone who, they know that one song pretty well, but they can't learn another one, or they really aren't that good when it comes right down to it. And how do you deal with that? It's sort of the stealth lousy actor or lousy vocalist.
What have you been looking at in your vocal auditions?
Well, but suppose, I mean, if they've practiced like crazy on one song or ahead of time, can't they come in and fool you?
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm speaking for Doug.
Yeah.
But I had a situation in one of my first summer stock companies that I worked with that a woman came in who was trained on a song, and she auditioned gangbusters.
Sure.
And she got into rehearsals for the show and couldn't hit the upper notes. She didn't have them. But they didn't know that because they didn't take the time in the audition process to check her range.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to do that.
And a good friend of mine ended up standing behind a curtain singing to hit the notes for the girl because she couldn't hit them on stage. So she would open her mouth, and my friend would stand behind the curtain every night and sing the notes.
What's your experience with this, Annette? You were smiling over here. I need to know.
Well, not in terms of singing so much, but definitely in terms of non-musical plays. A lot of times somebody will come in and they'll give the best audition.
Right.
But either that's all you ever get from them, they never grow, or sometimes you never even see that again. And I always think, where did it go?
Right.
Yeah.
Come back. But they, you know, auditions can fool you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sometimes John and I have this discussion all the time because we both know someone who is not with us any longer, but who gave probably the world's worst auditions. It's like, okay, this is English, you can't read it, but put her in a character part, and my Lord, she acts everybody else off the stage.
The
but
way.
It's really hard, unless you've seen this person perform before, to be willing to take a chance if they give such a terrible audition. And I don't know the answer to that. I really don't.
Do you,
but I know
do
it
you have
happens.
People who are not fast learners on material, like in an audition situation where they have to learn a song pretty quickly, and they're not that strong, but you cast them because you know that with a little more time they will be gangbusters? Do you ever get that?
I've experienced that in the past. I'm thinking of a specific show. There was a boy that didn't really necessarily have a really strong audition, but I could tell he had a really lovely quality to his voice.
Uh-huh.
And so there was conversation with me and the director about, you know, well, what kind of role could we use this child for?
Right.
And his audition was not that good. And I'm like, you know what? I think there's something there. I mean, I heard a lovely voice. I'm just not sure he knows how to use it at this point. Sure. So we kind of used that show to kind of train him a little bit.
Yeah.
We didn't give him a lead role where he did a lot of work, but we used that show to kind of get him into the door because there was a little spark there.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I kind of have that as a director's role too, that, okay, I'll drag one person through a show. If I think that there's something there, I mean, if it's two, that gets a little tough, but no, after that, I better have people that can really do it. But it's, I think it's kind of part of the job of community theater to bring people who maybe have a little something and help it grow. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, great.
Doug, a lot of times when we do musicals, we get ourselves into situations where we need a lot more people than maybe audition. And sometimes the people who audition aren't necessarily the strongest vocalists. What do you do in a situation where you have a couple of vocalists that can't carry a tune, but you need to fill the chorus?
Well,
can't carry a tune. I think that would be the bottom line.
Well, it's happened.
I know, but doesn't that drag everybody else down when you have somebody that's just always singing a little bit off?
It does affect morale of the chorus. Ooh. Whenever that happens, it does affect the other people because they recognize that what is that noise coming from over there? You know,
yeah.
It's like
I haven't heard that before.
Sounds nothing like my noise.
Well, and they start wondering, why did the director cast him
exactly.
or her,
exactly.
and or why did the vocal director pick them? I should be in that role. I mean, that's and it kind of it does it hurt the director's credibility at a certain point? It's kind of like, what are you doing?
No, well, I doubt that.
Well, yeah. it can, but I think in the circumstances in which I've been involved in that, people are generally aware that, you know, like, okay, maybe that person isn't as strong as they could be, but I kind of know why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because of numbers.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, sometimes we do what we do. We go to our phone. We go to our bank of people that we have there. And sometimes people don't like that. I auditioned. I didn't get that part. They called this person and they got the part. Well, you didn't get the part for a reason. So sometimes you just have to make adjustments that way. Call people in or you change kind of what they're going to do. I mean, you know, sometimes you get rid of a song. If you have to get rid of a song or you change a song, you alter it in a way that maybe it's shorter. Or you use some speaking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to be creative.
And I think there's I've had experiences as a director also where not always are the chorus vocalists. Sometimes you have a couple of chorus vocalists who don't necessarily bring the best vocal to the show, but they bring other things to the show mm-hmm. that you do need either. A good dance background or a good character development because you needed a strong actor. And so mm-hmm. there are times when you feel like, I want that person in the show. How do I work them into the chorus in a couple of numbers so that we're all working together and, mm-hmm. and I get that quality from that actor, but I still have a good quality of performance overall.
Well, I can see doing that if you get somebody that at least can carry a tune. But if they can't carry a tune...
They move their lips.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, it happens. Sometimes that decision has to be made.
Yeah. Why don't you just move your lips and smile?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
because you look fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, especially if they can dance, right?
Yeah, if they're dancers, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And we've also seen, I mean, I think what's kind of interesting is sometimes you see somebody who comes into the chorus as a dancer, maybe, and maybe not the strongest vocalist, but because they continue to do shows... And they continue to learn from the vocal director, which I think is, I mean, we all talk about the fact that we are teachers in a way because we know that we're working with maybe untrained people. So that the more shows they do, the more trained they get, and suddenly they are actually becoming very good performers. And
right.
But it means that we took, and we always talk about this, you took a risk on them, at least in placing them in the show initially. And then you get a chance to watch them grow. We see it a lot with youth theater, I think Annette would say probably.
Yeah.
You know, the kids, because they're so malleable, but then even with adults, they come in and they want to be there and they want to be a part of it. And they actually do grow and learn and become better performers. And so, you know, sometimes you have to take a risk, even mm-hmm. if they have to, you have to say, you know, on those measures, don't sing.
Lay out.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and to some degree, how much risk you take has to do with the difficulty level of the music itself. And I'm going to probably show my ignorance here, but like, if you need a bunch of girls to be in the taxi dancers and sing "Hey Big Spender," that's probably that actually doesn't have to be as perfect as say like the music in Drowsy Chaperone. Perhaps, which I felt, I mean, and I'm not saying this just because Marsha directed it, but it was excellent.
He music
and you music directed
it.
And yeah.
starred in it, so come on.
Yeah.
We all know.
But there are different demands in different shows.
Yes.
I mean, you
right.
know, like if you've just got some block chords going on and lots of just easy moving parts, and
right.
But when you start doing a show that maybe has got some, like, a lot of jazz and Manhattan Transfer kinds of sounds, like City of Angels, is that what it's called?
Right, right.
That's just got so much tight harmonies that you're just going to have a different level of performances from people on those kinds of shows.
And, of course, we have to pick our we have to select the shows that we're going to do based on what talent's available in that regard, too, sometimes.
Oh, that's a whole different discussion.
That's a whole different discussion. That's a whole different discussion. So, okay, well, thanks for being with us here and talking about vocal direction and other things, Doug, and thanks for being with us, Annette, as well. And so just remember to stop by the website and stop by our online store at www.theatergeeks.com/store, and we sell all kinds of stuff.
Like cups, hats?
Cats.
And mugs.
Hats and mugs. And let's see. We've got cute little bibs for babies that have the Theater Geeks
do
logo
we have the
on
teddy
them. Teddy bears too. Teddy bears too. What else do we have, John?
I don't know, because every time I say it, I get a dirty look from my left. So
oh, okay.
I'm not going to say
what
it.
Do we have in there, Doug? Do you remember?
Underwear.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Good times. Okay.
Good times. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well,
so
thanks.
I'm told.
All right. You can listen to us at thetheatergeeks.com. You can also subscribe, and that's a really great way to be sure you hear every episode. You can subscribe on iTunes at the Zune Marketplace at blueberry.com, whatever other podcatcher you would like to use. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.